Oztec News, episode 21.
Zune launch. G'day and welcome to Oztec News, where a weekly podcast that features the latest in tech and gaming news. Visit the website at oztecnews.blogspot.com that has this podcast as well as the show notes for these stories. Or give us an email at oztecnews@gmail.com. With us this week is the one and only mighty...
Sean.
And
I just wanted
Brett.
To have this big contrast with like this mighty and I'm saying, Sean.
The mouse.
Just
so, you're back. It's 21. You missed the mighty 20. I guess we didn't really do that much, though.
It was only you doing the podcast, so that...
Yeah,
you didn't really do anything.
So did you hear the phone conversation at the end of 19?
No. What? Me and you?
Yeah, when I called you up, I put it on the show.
I didn't listen. I'll have to listen to that tomorrow.
That's pretty funny.
Sounds intriguing.
So, I guess that leads us on into our first story, which would be... Sean's holiday.
Has been said throughout the podcast that I went to the Philippines. And I never went to the Philippines. I never once been to the Philippines. And, you know, I told Brett, and he's like, god damn it. And then he's like, he went to Taiwan. And I'm like, freaking Taiwan. I went to Thailand. Thailand, much better than both those places.
I got the first letter right.
Got the first, not in Philippines you didn't, that's for sure.
Nah, way off there. So what did you think of it?
It was great, really good fun. You know, you do the usual when you go to the country for the first time, as in you do all the tourist stuff, which means we went to a bunch of islands and little day trip tours and stuff like that, which was really cool. Took a bunch of photos. Girlfriend and I both took a digital camera, so I think we came back... with around 250 photos.
Yeah?
Yeah. We deleted a few along the way because they didn't come out right, but I took a couple of videos as well with my camera, just like scenic shots, just done like a 360 turn of where I was. Like, if I was in a boat, I'd do a big, like, AVI of where I was, which just came out pretty well. Other than that, shopping is goddamn good.
Shopping is
really
good.
Like, lots of, like, Ralph Lauren and Lacoste type stuff. And then you've got all your normal t-shirts, like all your surfy little t-shirts. Like, you can get, like, Billabong and Rip Curl and Fox t-shirts. And then you've got, like, you know, other stuff.
Like surfy kind of stuff? Or?
Yeah, surfy stuff. And Diesel and all that type of crap. Then, like, you can get basically anything cheap over there. Like, I got a couple of pairs of... those Dickies shorts for half price.
What shorts?
They're called Dickies shorts. It's a brand.
Oh.
It's American workwear, but it's very popular here in Australia. I'm sure that someone who listens may have heard of it or probably wear it. It's pretty good stuff. It wears pretty well. I've had a pair of shorts that I've worn religiously every summer, and they're still going, and I've had them for about 4 years, 5 years.
Shorts last you 5 years?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Man, they must be tough.
They're actually work shorts, like, you know, can't tear them or, you know, I don't know what it is, hard jacker and stuff like that.
In titanium.
Yeah. So, not only that, as you may have heard on episode 19, obviously at the end where there was the recording of myself and Brett having conversation over the phone, I was sunburnt. Just after that day, I got quite sick. Quite sick that I really couldn't go anywhere. But I was in that, like, moral pickle where if I was at home, I would have just stayed in bed. But because I'm in a different country and I'm meant to be a tourist and doing heaps of stuff, I'm trying to, you know, go out for as much as I can before I basically either A, pass out, B, need to run to the toilet as quick as possible, or... See,
what was it, like sunstroke?
Everywhere. I thought it was sunstroke, but I think it was I think it was actually food or water or something of that description. So I don't know, but I got pretty sick for about 3 days, and it was horrible. But I eventually got up, and we were able to do what we needed to. So just to sum it up, I went to Phuket for 10 days, and then I went to Bangkok for 3 or 4 days.
Cool. Did you deliberately pick it out that way, or just a good
The whole main reason for us to go to Bangkok in for the last 3 days was to actually shop. So it was really hard when I was sick, but we got out of there just in time.
What happened with that stuff? I didn't really follow it much.
Basically, the country tried to take over itself.
Because, like, while you were gone, you had, like, Steve Irwin die and Peter Brock die, so, like, you missed a bit here, too.
Yeah. Oh, you got to see the funerals, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't good.
Oh, well, it wasn't actually good that they had a funeral, but it was good to actually watch it, and what else have you? But anyway, we could talk about this all day, moving on to the first story.
Yeah.
Gun crisis and Counter-Strike Source will be affected by in-game demand, otherwise known as dynamic pricing.
This is new to you, isn't it?
This is new. I just read up on this not that long ago. Basically, I'm pretty sure the site or Counter-Strike updates every week. But it updates the prices of the guns by how often people buy guns. So, as you may know, that the two of the main guns bought in the game would be obviously the M4 and the AK-47.
Because they're the stock guns when you press
just
BA.
They're just the guns of choice by a lot of people. And then you'd have your Deagle and probably or AWP. But because people will be buying them so often, the prices will be going up.
So it's like a market kind of thing, where sort of demand changes how much the guns are worth.
Yep. But the thing is, it's like that to actually try and get you to buy different guns. Try utilize the other parts of the game, because basically when you're running around, the majority of people use the AK, the M4, the AWP, and the Deagle, and then it dramatically drops off then to, say, Scouts and P90s and the Bullpup and what else have you.
I like that Bullpup, but I don't know why people don't use that gun.
I hate that gun, it's horrible. Anyway, the actual thing is that's a good idea if you want to get people to use other guns, but what about stuff that you can't use anything else of? Like, everyone has to buy armor. It's not like you can buy something else.
Well, not buy
There's
armor.
There's armor or armor with head armor. Now, that's not ever not going to be bought, because there's no two types of armor. It's like, there's just the two types of armor.
Well, did you notice how, like, the assault suit, which is armor in the helmet, right? That's gone up to from 1,001 to 1,100, but the just standard Kevlar armor's gone down from 650 down to 630, nearly.
Yeah, it's a pittance. It's not that much money at all. Like, it's not going to have a huge impact on the game.
Yeah,
should be interesting in wars and stuff like that. Like, you could have if 1 week everyone buys a certain gun, and all of a sudden you're having a war that week. And it favors your team's favorite guns or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, there could be a swaying of teams and winning.
It'd throw a bit of randomness into it, wouldn't it?
It really would. It really would.
What do you sort of think about it? You like it, or are you against it? Because it's like, you should have saw the forums literally explode when it was announced.
I think it's an okay idea. I don't know what its limits are, though. It's not like you could have a gun, like everyone just buying an AK, and all of a sudden, you know, 1 week it goes to, like, $5 billion.
Yeah.
But, I don't know how far it can go up and how far it can go down. I'm not sure of it.
It goes...
Oh, that's obviously defined in the algorithm, of course.
Yeah, it goes by sort of how many people buy that worldwide, that gun. So, if... For example, 10% of all the dollars worldwide were spent on the M4A1. That means its price will go up 10%.
Okay.
That's sort of how they figure it out. Did you notice, like, the one I least like is the Deagle has gone up from 650 up to 929.
Yep. Do you know how often people buy that gun?
Oh, yeah, but, man, like, it makes it such an expensive gun that you almost never get to buy it, like, if you're on a budget.
I know.
We make it sound like a supermarket shopping game.
Like up to nearly a grand, and for a grand you can't really buy a gun at all.
Oh, you could almost buy a gun though.
You can almost buy an M4 is 1.5. Oh, not an M4, sorry, M5.
Yeah. I noticed the night vision goggles drop down a fair bit, but what's the point of them? Are they ever used in games on anywhere? Like what?
Night vision isn't usually used that often, mostly for custom maps, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You can use them in tunnels and stuff, I guess.
It's just like a green tint, though, normally, isn't it?
You can see better.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty much it, yeah.
Pushing right along.
Yeah.
This is a pretty funny story for you, Brett. I'll let you do it because you saw it and read up on it.
All right. I'll put a bit of effort into this. Kutanagi puts another nail in the PlayStation 3's coffin at the Tokyo Game Show. This one, to do it justice, you've got to look at the story on Joystick, which we linked on the website. There was a big game show, a bit like E3, last week. Cool. Oh, earlier in the week, actually. The Tokyo Game Show.
Ah, that's a pretty gay name.
Yeah. They showed off stuff like Metal Gear Solid 4 and stuff like that there, and they look pretty good. But Kutanagi thought he'd try and redeem himself after his crappy E3 keynote, and he sort of bent himself over and gave him a royal mickey. For example, right at the start of the keynote, he said everyone to turn off their digital cameras and not to take any pictures of the screen. Now, for a conference where it's about video games and everything they're showing sort of visual, that's pretty stupid. So we sort of lost half the show there. In the whole Joystick review of the keynote, what they've done is they've switched on their Nintendo DSs, and there's a program on it called PictoChat. Have you heard of that before?
No.
It's sort of like, it's a bit like NetMeeting. You know, you got the whiteboard and you sort of draw on it and they see what you're drawing.
Yep.
Yep. Well, that's what the DS does. You sort of draw on it and yeah. So they're getting all their reactions as of other people around them as the show's going on. So you read through it and he's just talking waffle basically, and they're talking lots of weird stuff. Like for example, Kutanagi's an idiot, or, there's a picture of the PlayStation 3 on the screen, so they're writing, say, it's bra size, 46DD, or it's actually a George Foreman. So I think the pictures are sort of more funny than the conference. And he's always, like, he was actually speaking Japanese, but the guy was translating it on the fly. and at most of the points, he was talking too fast for the translator to keep up. And he never once referred to it as a console. He only said computer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he's gone to sort of the PlayStation 3 is a computer. Another awesomely stupid idea. You'll love this. Yep. Gran Turismo concept, when that comes out. It's not going to come with any cars. Cars? What you do is you purchase them. And there's about 500 to 1,000 cars in the game. To buy every car in the game, they estimated it would cost probably about the same price as buying the PlayStation 3.
What?
To buy everything in the game. Like tracks. Because you've got to buy tracks. Like, holy crap.
Can you earn them as well?
Nope, you got to buy them.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
There'd be cheats. Surely.
Hopefully. There's talk of it, say, the other, like the Japanese version's going to be like that, but the US version might come with, say, 30 cars and the rest you have to actually buy on their online marketplace. Holy crap. That's just shatters you for words, that.
It really does.
Their reaction on the Picto chats was a big dinosaur gobbling the PS3 and munching on dollar notes. And someone drawing a medical monitor and flatlining.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the highlights of it and how poor it was.
So basically, this guy's jumped up trying to, you know, redeem himself from E3.
Yep.
He's kind of done the wrong thing. He told everyone not to take photos or whatnot with their digital cameras and so on.
Yep.
And everyone's just gone, who the hell does this guy think he is? And then all of a sudden he's just talking crap. blah, 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 blah. Everyone's getting bored, doesn't want to do anything, trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And they can't take photos and they can't talk, so they all whip out their DSs and just start chatting to each other.
DSs at a Sony conference. Oh, good. Isn't that ironic?
Quite ironic. It's pretty much that's fantastic.
So he's stuffed it up.
Yeah, he's done a really bad job there.
A little sub story, which sort of deserves its own.
Yep.
Is he also announced that there's going to be a price cut. And at first you're like, oh, wow, that's cool. But then they talk about the specifics of it. So I'm just going to load this up, but you can sort of say anything about that story if you want while it's loading for me.
Well, the prices were yen, weren't they?
Yeah.
So the prices were all in Japanese, and they're all talking about Japan. Japan! And as far as I know, that all these prices that they quoted, which made everyone really excited, especially in the US, they're like, oh, sweet, we're going to get really cheap because everyone's doing their conversions and so whatnot.
Yeah.
And they find out that the prices are actually only for Japan.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, what the WTF, mate?
So they dropped the 20 gig PS3 base unit from 62,000 yen to 49,000 yen in Japan. So converted, that equals from $715 for the base unit. And the base unit is crap.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And that's got dropped down to $569 in, like, that's in Australian. But the big center of this is only for Japan.
Yeah.
We're still going to get the PS3 in March for $1,000. And Japan are getting it in the next few months for this reduced price. And this is only... Yep.
I think it's coming out... I forget when it's coming out. But it's only a couple of days after the Wii's coming out. They're very... Like, shipping and coming out very close to the same date.
I think Did you hear that it got delayed in Australia?
Sorry?
Did you hear that it got delayed in Australia?
The PS3. Yeah. No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, that was last week. It got delayed till March 2007.
Yeah, no one's going to buy it.
Yeah, it's killing itself. I don't know how it will die, like, just off the spot like that, but the Xbox 360's had such a good showing, the Wii's going to kick a fair bit of butt.
I've heard that, you know, you have to, if you like watching movies, like DVDs and whatnot, you really have to be skeptical about buying a Xbox 360 for DVD watching and so forth, or watching your movies, TV shows, etc. They reckon that the on-screen performance isn't all that great.
Oh, really?
So if you compared it to a normal DVD player, obviously just a standard, not the, you know, U-Butte one or some dodgy one, just a, you know, just a good one,
normal,
compared to a 360, you'll notice a significant difference in quality.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought the 360 had stuff like upscaling, so it converts DVDs to 480p if you got it to a digital screen.
Well, yeah, it does, but obviously, you know, there's downfalls to all these things.
Yeah, it's just not schmick.
I have a feeling that Prager from Revision 3 was the one that said that, because he loves all his video and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Well, I think I'll leave this topic because... Oh, yeah, also, every PS3 comes with HDMI as standard now. That means in the future, when 1080p becomes standard, you won't be able to plug the screens into anything but HDMI, because that's a copy-protected version of your monitor, basically.
Okay.
So it's a bit like Vista, where you won't be able to play Blu-ray unless you got the HDCP. Like, your normal screens just won't work, or it'll downscale it, which is kind of stupid, too.
Right.
But, yeah. Move us on, dude. Move us on.
Intel pledges 80 cores in 5 years. Now, obviously, it's 2006, and that puts that at 2011. Which, this just came out it came out at the same time as Intel actually said they're going to be releasing quad core in November. I'm pretty sure they're specific for gaming, from what I hear.
Yeah.
So they're like gaming quad core processors, which is sweet because we just got the dual core duo.
Yeah, and that's kicking butt too, isn't it?
It's hell fast.
It's all good news.
And what a few months later down the track, we're getting quad core.
Yeah, AMD is sort of eating the dust.
Another 5 years down the track, we're getting 80 cores. The people that are actually developing and producing this quad core have actually already produced an 80 core. Obviously, it's nowhere near actual production or obviously release.
Yep.
But they've got it and they're testing it and whatnot and developing it in a way that is obviously being aimed to being released at around 2011. Now, we're at 4 now. And we're going to 80 cores in 5 years. You don't need to do the math to realize that that's effing quick.
Yeah, sure is. So I wonder how they'll use this technology, though. Like, do you think this means that they sort of lost the gigahertz race and they're sort of moving to spread sideways by having more cores rather than making chips go faster?
Yeah, that's like going up 16 cores a year. But obviously, it's not going to be that fast.
Linear jump, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be a linear jump. It's going to be multiplying at a certain rate.
Yeah. It sounds good. Like, I wonder how they'll actually do it. Or, like, it makes you wonder what kind of stuff we'll be using in 5 years. That's like Counter-Strike could look crap in 5 years, it must.
Well, with stuff like this happening, gaming has gonna have to take a step forward and say, look, we're getting the power that we need now.
Yeah.
We full-time, real-time rendering, everything is just gonna be off the charts.
I reckon there's not much else you can do to games, really. Like, I'm pretty happy with how they look now. But I probably said that 2 years ago, and then new stuff comes out, and I'm like, oh, wow.
And it's about time that another engine comes out. I forget who's creating a new engine, like graphics engine.
Engine? What do you mean? A new graphics card maker?
No. I mean like the Half-Life 2 engine or the Unreal engine.
Oh, yeah. Like Crysis?
Crysis was the last one that came out that was significantly better than the others.
Yep.
But is Crysis out?
Or is it's not out for engine? A few months.
Yeah, okay.
That's just an engine, like a spiritual Far Cry 2 kind of thing, with that freaky alien, in the Predator scene.
Well, cool.
Also, 80 cores sounds good.
80 cores. You think about now, you're just like, WTF.
I can't see use for it. Oh, on a side note, there was, they were demonstrating these quad cores, and they got sent to a review thing.
Yeah.
And there's, the Mac 64 has dual processor support. What they did was they put two quad cores inside it.
Yep.
And it got picked up as 8 cores.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're not allowed to release the benchmarks for it because it's like prototype stuff, but they just said, oh, yeah, and we couldn't max out the CPUs no matter what we did.
Jesus.
So that's sort of the potential we've got.
That's great.
Yeah, good future. I hope it looks good, though.
Gives a chance for all the other industries in IT to actually,
do stuff.
Exactly. Kind of puts a bit of pressure as well.
Yeah. Next one. Who's saying the next story? Is it me or you?
You, miss.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Miss boy.
MySpace trumps YouTube in video. This story is about who watches the most video. Which site does it?
Apparently MySpace.
Yeah, you got to the end of the story straight away.
Basically,
this is on Slashdot, so yeah.
Basically, everyone knows the main video viewing sites out there. You have your, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is YouTube, because it's actually the most viewed site in the world at the moment, as far as I know.
It's like instead of Google it, it's like YouTube, if someone asks you where a video is.
And MySpace and YouTube usually fight over who views this is the most viewed website in the world, or at least in the US. Quite often, but now what this story is about is actually most watched video. Now, MySpace, not long ago, actually inputted video into all their profiling, so you can upload video and add it to your profile and all that type of stuff. Exactly the same the way as you would on YouTube.
Oh.
Now, there was a big fight between them because they're trying to do the same thing. The only reason MySpace done it was because everyone was putting YouTube, like, embedded players on their profiles. And MySpace obviously gone, well, what they're doing isn't really that hard. And it's not like we don't have the cash to back it up. So why don't we make our own player? So they made their own player. And now their player's overtaken YouTube, and YouTube is being left behind, and now MySpace has the most watched videos on the net, obviously overtaking Google and Yahoo as well.
Yeah, I was talking to you before about, I thought that maybe the stats were a bit wrong, because I was thinking that the videos would sort of start as soon as you watched, as soon as you clicked on a page.
Yeah, it's funny with the numbers because of, we don't know if they're finished watched videos or, you know, they automatically start on some people's pages.
Yeah.
Because on YouTube, I know definitely that you have to actually press play, because any undue bandwidth is obviously valued by YouTube, because obviously that saves money. And you'd think that MySpace would have the same thing, because I'm pretty sure that on MySpace, that if you upload a file, you have to go to the video section to view it and then click on the video, obviously, that you want.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But I'm pretty sure that you can actually embed that video on your profile as well. Now, I'm not sure if that actual video...
MySpace is just a bunch of crappy HTML code, isn't it? So you could set stuff to autoplay yourself if MySpace didn't do it, couldn't you?
Don't know.
There'd
be it's a setting in the background.
Yeah.
Some type of back-end setting for each profile.
Yeah. Where is it? MySpace collectively watched 1.4 billion videos in July. Yahoo collectively watched 812 million videos. And YouTube ranks in number 3, having watched 649 million videos. So YouTube's like, what the heck? What do you watch on Yahoo?
You said who watches 1.4 billion?
1.4 billion is MySpace.
No. You screwed that up.
What'd I do?
Yeah. All told, they collectively watched 1.4 billion. So that's all of them put together.
Ah, crap. Yeah, you're right. No.
Let me
read the
story. Now that third-party figures are available for
this
individual
sites... This is on Market
sites,
Watch, guys.
We're beginning to see who's actually attracting those converted eyeballs.
According Play Market to, Watch, guys.
According to new video report that ComScore Media Metrics will begin offering starting
Tuesday
morning.
See, they talk waffle.
Morning.
I fell asleep.
What?
They were talking waffle.
37.4 million unique individuals watched a video on MySpace in July. All told, they collectively watched 1.4 billion videos. I don't really... Yeah. By comparison, the audiences of Yahoo watched 812 million. Yahoo came in second popular video site measuring by video streams. Yahoo ranks number 1 mil. What the fuck am I reading? I think everything that I just said is
crap.
Wrong.
Yeah. We've done well.
What?
There's a nice side note at the bottom, actually, which brings up a good point. They're not double counting, which means they're not counting videos watched on MySpace, which are actually YouTube videos. And that's a good point. They'd be stuffed if they didn't account for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I put a link to a YouTube video inside my MySpace page or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I guess you'll have to just agree with us that MySpace trumps YouTube, because we can't figure out who won. I thought it was MySpace was 1.4 billion. Yahoo was 812. But I don't know now. Redeem us and do the next story. This is this program's about a hidden program in Windows XP. I'm just trying to find a link for it. But what this... No, geez, I can't find it at all. Yeah, this sucks. What it's about was a little piece of software you could find by typing in, I think it was EUDCP or something like that. And what it did was it brought up this little bitmap program, and you used it to create fonts in Windows XP. So using this, you're able to sort of painstakingly draw new fonts and stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's cool, but we can't seem to find the link. We'll have to get a new one from the actual show notes, I guess. That sucks. Obviously, the person who originally blogged this story, it got taken down off them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the reason I was blogging, writing, talking, there's so many different ways to describe I talked about this story.
I think the way that you just said it was all right.
Yeah. The reason I was mentioning it because Windows XP, when it first came out, no one thought it had any Easter eggs in it. Do you remember Windows 95 had that little Easter egg with the bouncing ball and the star field?
Yep.
Like Windows 3.1 had the star field too?
Yep.
It wasn't actually allowed to have proper Easter eggs like that because the Department of Justice in United States of America, they were sort of like going, when they were auditing the software before they were using it, they were like, we kind of don't want any hidden stuff because it's sort of bad for our security. And Microsoft is like, okay, we'll do it. So no more fun stuff since then.
Well, I found it again. It's EUDCEDIT, the private character.
Yeah, if you've ever wanted to create your own font or bug around with a little hidden program, prove your geekiness to your mates at a LAN, give this link a go.
Try to pick up chicks with it, yeah. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, yeah, show us your fonts. Rasterize me, baby.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I'm glad we collectively agreed on it.
You may be a little
wrong.
Yes.
Moving
right along.
Yep.
The myth of
does this link work for us? What's this story?
The myth of the 40-hour game.
Oh, very, very subtle.
Mythical 40-hour gamer. You didn't even write that right in the show notes. Show notes.
If you click on that, that's the actual title for the story. It's from Wired News, The Mythical 40-Hour Gamer.
You said in the show notes, the myth of the 40-hour game.
Oh, you're right. I forgot one letter.
Yeah.
Right. What about the story?
I don't know anything about the story.
All right. This story talks about a guy who picks up Tomb Raider Legends. He's like, oh, this game's cool, and on the side of it, of this game and most other games, they're always saying how this game's got 20 or 40 hours game time in it as a sort of selling point for it.
Yep.
And he says that he played about 3/4 into the game and then he got stuck on one of the puzzles. And he spent the rest of the week trying to get through this puzzle and ended up giving up and then shelved the game and stopped playing it.
Yep.
And the point of the story was that the softcore and the hardcore gamers make it difficult to judge playtime and how long a game lasts, and also that it's common for people who, as they grow up and become less of a hardcore gamer, that they'll just give up at a game because they just don't have the mental time there for them to play through the game and to give it the proper time it deserves. For example, like kids from 6 to 17, you would normally call a hardcore gamer, because they'd invest, say, that weekend where they get into the flow of the game, sort of play through it, and get the whole mechanics of the game going.
That's probably why multiplayer games are so popular. Because it's the same thing over and over, especially like WoW. You've got objectives, but it's not hugely hard to do it. It just takes a lot of time. Now, when you've got a goal set in your mind when you're playing a game, you want to finish it, right?
Yeah.
But if that goal takes a long time, and you've already devoted your own time to do it, then there's no actual problem with that, because it's just going to take you longer.
Yeah.
But that's why it's easy to just get addicted to multiplayer games rather than a single-player game, because there's that interaction and the goals are easier, rather than a single-player game where they're trying to actually confront you with certain problems and aspects of the game that are harder and more time-consuming, rather than easier things that just take longer, which is...
Yeah, it's sort of more hooks that can get you stuck on. Like, he talks about how he's grown up and that because he's working, etc., you can only spend probably 1 or 2 hours a day like properly on a game, and that by hanging like up, sort of having to dump his sort of, all he dubs it as mental RAM, to sort of back into the game, the play mechanics, by the time he gets into it, he's forgotten, say, how the certain puzzles were or why he got stuck last time. So he might spend 15 minutes just running around the corridors seeing where the heck he was last time. So in the end, he just, instead of enjoying the game, he's sort of trying to find point A to point B. And yeah, so that 40 hours ends up being longer, but it's just more annoying. So I guess it drifts off a fair bit, but I really like the article about it. And I guess if you ever read it yourself, you'll probably like it a fair bit too.
Probably.
Yeah. You're getting pretty tired there by the sounds of it.
No, I'm just over the story, I reckon.
Alright, move us on then. Show us your skills, so to speak.
I have many elite skills. Now...
Yeah.
The Nokia N95 and N75.
Subtle.
Now, what? I was looking at one of these today. I think I've looked at both of them today, I believe. I think I saw them on in Gadget Mobile, which everyone knows they have their own mobile actual website.
Yep.
Right?
Okay.
And we have the specs, and they're coming out.
Wow. Ages away. The N95. So these are new phones, basically.
Nokia announced a couple N series multimedia devices today, and multimedia computers, as they like to call them. First off, the Nokia N95, a top of the line camera slider with 5-megapixel camera, HSDPA, and built-in GPS navigator system. Then comes the clamshell Nokia N75, the smallest N-series device to date, with a 2-megapixel camera and 3G support.
Now, that sounds good.
That sounds pretty good, because the N...
95?
No, what was it? The N73? N80, sorry, the N80. That was quite significantly smaller than the N70. N70?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
because they had the slide function.
Yep.
Now, that's kind of small, because a guy at work that I work with actually has it as well. And that's kind of small. It's actually would be great to see that if this one is smaller than that. Obviously, it is smaller, because they're claiming that.
Yep.
But the problem with these multimedia computers, is that they get too big. They're kind of getting too big for you. Like, because a lot of people, they use their mobile, they put their mobile in their pocket.
Yep.
But if they're getting smaller now, obviously with technology getting and growing better, as fast as it is, that obviously components are getting smaller, but things like screens and megapixels and that are getting bigger. Just the components inside are getting smaller.
Yeah. All right. So the N95.
I see promising things for it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was going to say the N95. That's their new top end phone. It's sweet, because I'm waiting for the N93 to come out still in Australia, and
they seem to be just throwing N-series phones out of their anuses at the moment.
Oh, good choice. I'm just
seeing release in this, and that, and this. I'm just like, what the hell? There's so many phones coming out now. I need a phone soon, because I'm still borrowing a phone, and I need a computer. And in both cases, I'm like, oh, I'll just get the new Quad Duo, and all of a sudden they're like, Quad processors in November. I'm like, oh, should I wait for it, or should I just get? And now here I was basically kind of nearly set on getting the N73, and now they're like, oh, the N75's come out, and it's smaller and it's better, and it's got it. I'm just like, God damn it, Jesus Christ! All I want is a phone and a computer.
A phone,
stop
man.
Bringing out new and better stuff, because I'll never buy anything. They need to settle for a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was reading how they announced that the N95 is going to come out first quarter 2007, but that's a USA release. So it'll mean that it'll come out most likely this time next year. So it's a very early announcement of the phone. Like, I remember the N93 was first announced. I think we did that as one of our first stories on OzTech News. Like,
I think we did.
Yeah, sort of way back then, and it's only just coming out like in the next few weeks. But yeah, so going through the N95, I really like this phone, but I just don't think I could wait for it because it's got that sleek N80 look rather than the chunky N93 look. Like, correct. it's a dual slider. So 5 megapixel camera, Wi-Fi, 3G, Edge, good stereo Bluetooth. Yeah.
I want the. I like that N975. Looks good. Looks good.
Yeah, the flip phone.
Wait, the N975. No, I don't. Oh, it's N73 isn't a flip phone. This is a flip phone.
Yeah.
But this one looks like it's actually like a multimedia MP3 player.
Yeah, most that was sort of the theme of these all these new phones they were announcing. They're very heavy on the MP3 playing. Like they also announced the N91, which was their first hard drive based phone.
8 gig,
has been upgraded. Yeah, it's been upgraded to play. I'll have 8 gig inside it and slightly better battery life.
8 gig so. For a phone—that's pretty big.
Yeah, it's just good. Quietly. If you don't want to get an MP3 player, that's pretty good. So yeah, I'm pretty impressed with this stuff, and I'm always following it around. So I'm sure I'll follow it up in later stories. But basically, lots of new phones got released or got announced yesterday. So. Yeah, I reckon the GPS inside the N93 is the hugest new feature. That's a good idea. I'd like to see that on new stuff. Yeah.
It is a great idea. Obviously, it will cost money, though.
Oh, yeah, crap loads of money.
Just like everything. We get so ripped off down here in Australia.
Yeah, we get the crappest phones, and we get them, like, ages later than even USA. Like, in order of goodness, Japan get all these cool, tiny phones. America get, like, stripped down versions of them, and we get whatever they crap out when they're finished with them. Like, what the hell?
Pushing on to the next story, Microsoft launches the Zune. Much anticipated iPod killer, it's being labeled by some. Microsoft Zune is obviously what Microsoft's version of the iPod. Now, as expected, Microsoft is busting out the Zune today, this being the 14th. So there's quite some time ago, 12 days ago. But,
yep.
Microsoft is busting out the Zune, and we, Engadget had the rundown of the most of the basic specs. Now, there's not a lot of surprises in the specs, but they've confirmed some of the basic specs to Engadget, like Wi-Fi, 30-gig hard drive, built-in FM radio, 3-inch color screen.
It'd suck if it was black
basic
and white.
Music, pictures, and video playback. So it seems that it's pretty much the same as the iPod Video now, or the iPod 5G.
But doesn't the screen look so much bigger and sweeter?
It is a 3-inch screen, so it is. It's got the widescreen ratio.
I wonder how big this iPod's in comparison. Maybe 2.4.
I'm not quite sure, but the iPod, you watch it facing up. Like the right way out rather than a landscape. You do watch it portrait mode.
Do you like the look of it, by the way?
I do like the look of it. I'm not quite... It's actually not like a touch-sensitive thing. I think that it's an actual wheel that spins, looks like.
Maybe.
Looks half-decent. I like the look of it. All the pictures on Engadget are quite pretty and lifelike.
Their website helps, doesn't it? Sort of big, nice gadget pics on their website. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing is that the Zune will support MP3 AAC and WMA. Now, the iPods don't currently support AAC.
They support.
Isn't that right?
Of course they support AAC. It's Apple's format.
What was it? I'm thinking of a different one.
WMA.
No, they support WMA, don't they?
iPods don't do WMA because that's Windows format.
OGG files, or their video files, sorry.
Yeah, I'll...
God damn it.
You owned yourself pretty good there, man.
Yeah, I owned myself pretty bad. I thought it didn't sound right, and I said it anyway.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, shoot me.
The good feature I like of the Zune is its Wi-Fi sharing of music. If you download us... Yeah?
Something I think is going to be a novelty, because a lot of it's going to be Zune-to-Zune sharing. You can't really... There's no actual release or any... plan or actual project.
You can't
plan.
Do it to say another computer.
Yeah, it's because there's rumors that later down the track you're going to be able to wirelessly connect to the internet. and connect to the store, like the Zune store, and download your tracks and your TV shows or whatever, what else have you, straight to the Zune rather than going through the computer
sync
to
it
the
up
Zune,
on your computer.
You know, cutting out that, you know, extra step.
I like that. That's a good idea. On the downloading it directly, so you sort of go into a cafe, download a music video or two.
There's no direct evidence that says that they're going to do that, though.
Yeah.
That's all just hearsay at the moment.
It's going to happen, Microsoft. The sharing, if you download songs on their site or whatnot, is crippled by their DRM. And the model is that if you send a file to another Zune, they can play it three times over 3 days from when they first play it. That's the limit. Like their DRM on it. That sounds crap until you realize that they don't put DRM on files you've already got, which is kind of cool. So you can then send MP3 files to another Zune guy and they've got it forever.
Yeah, so that's only if you buy songs from the Zune store, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you rip your own CDs,
yep.
As long as it's not ripped with the Zune player, rip or something else.
MSDRM, yeah.
Because I could, because if I would assume that ripping it with the Zune player or interface or UI, or whatever, it would put the DRM on it as well.
Yeah. So.
I don't know that, but I think that makes sense.
Sharing's a good concept, though. They're sort of assuming that everyone will buy this Zune, though, but I think. They'll get their way in there. They'll force it.
Zune's a bit of a
wildcard.
Not a really crap name. It's horrible.
It's a horrible name.
I guess iPod is it.
iPod sounds
well. They already
trendy.
Had Apple already had iMac and blah blah blah. So it was inevitable that they're going to put i in it. I guess the iPod kind of looks like a little bit of a pod type thing. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
But Zune. If I were to someone asked me, hey, what's a Zune? If someone goes, oh, well, could you describe a pod? I'd be like, yeah, I could describe a pod, but I can't describe a Zune. The hell is a Zune?
Or the Zune store. Or the
hey, man,
Zune-caster.
You're a Zune.
What the fuck? Don't be so Zune.
Idiot.
I think it looks trendy, but like this Zune, like if this doesn't catch on this first generation, they'll do an Xbox 360 on it and release an updated Zune that sort of does catch on. And then they'll have the features, you know, the sharing and stuff, and it'll probably catch on well. Did you know that the SanDisk is catching on like wildfire compared to the iPod? Like, it's sort of gaining a fair bit of market share. Like,
The
SanDisk with their Sansa players, they're catching up. They've got 10% market share.
Well, the Sansa, especially the Sansa 280, which is their latest release, which is an 8-gig player, which is obviously not as good anymore, which I'll reveal in a second.
Yeah, it's new Apple stuff.
So it was an 8-gig player with a mini SD slot, and the biggest size of mini SD slot comes in now, SD card,
is 2 gigs.
So
radio
you have
and
the
stuff.
Capability of going to 10-gig with flash memory. But these things are taking off, and everyone's going, well, hell yeah, I love this stuff. But Apple, not long ago, released the iPod Nano
stuff
again, and they've redone it. They've done it with colors, and it looks slicker, and it's smaller, and it's also 8 gig and cheaper.
Yeah. Did you see the iPod Shuffle, by the way? Like, we talked about it last week, but like, what did you think of the 1 gig Shuffle?
I don't know. It's so small, I can't see it.
Nice.
It's
very nice.
Freaking tiny. Like, a lot of the functionality is still in it, and it's smaller, and it's still the 1 gig, and it's still cheap, around $100 Australian.
About $130.
Is it?
And it comes out in October. It'd be a great first iPod if you can get around the no-screen kind of thing.
The only problem with the Shuffle is it's for people that, I don't know, exercise with it, or aren't really into putting albums and stuff on their players. Maybe, you know, just random one songs.
Yeah.
Because, I know, myself, personally, I like to, if I get an album, I put the whole album on, even if I don't listen to the whole album.
Yeah.
If I were to come home from work, I would listen to an album on the way home, rather than a playlist.
So you'd be better off with, like, the full-sized iPod video versus, say, the Nano or something like that. because you can just store all your stuff on there rather than syncing all the time.
Exactly right.
I'm in the other camp. I like the small and tiny stuff. Like, I got me 4 gig Samsung.
I want to be able to watch, like podcasts on it, say, your Dignations and what else is there? I don't know. Controller Chicken and maybe even Rocket Boom. I don't know. I haven't really researched video podcasts at all, but that's what I want to do. I'd watch movies. I'd watch movies in bed. Yeah. I'd watch TV shows on the way to work.
But the screen, it's just not big enough to watch big stuff. Like movies.
But it's not big enough if you're... If I wanted to watch a movie, like, in good quality, I'd watch it either A, on my PC by myself, or if I were watching with someone, I would put it on my media player, which is the MediaGate MG35, and hook it up to
That's
my
kicking
TV.
Butt for you, too, yeah. It I suppose you've got the video out on the iPod video, so you plug it into your TV and stuff, but, yeah, I don't know. So, what was the story again?
The Zune.
Oh, yeah, good player. I guess we're
done. It
looks
funky, but it's got a big hill to climb before it conquers any iPod.
Are you saying that it's got to zoom its way up there? All right. This week's tip. This one's not bad. PDF file converter. So what this does is you go onto the website and you chuck in a text file, doc file, even freaking slideshows in PowerPoint, and it converts it into a PDF file that you can take around everywhere and print out. I think that's kind of neat. Like, I'm aware there's software around there you can download and use on your PCs, but to be able to upload your file and you grab download a PDF file sounds pretty good.
It is.
Like, do you think you'd find any use for you?
I personally wouldn't, because obviously in my background in multimedia designing and stuff like that, I do a bit of PDFing all the time. So
PDFing.
Obviously I've got the full Acrobat package.
Yeah.
In the office and at home.
How does that work? Like the full package. Like how does it convert the PDF file? Like, do you say you write your stuff in Word, but then how do you chuck it into PDF?
It's all integrated with Word, so you basically got a little button that you click, and if it's just a convert to PDF, and it goes, okay. And it does it, and it asks you where you want it, or you can make it just save where your document is.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
No.
You can, this is all while the Word document is open.
Yeah. And I saw a freeware app that it's a PDF creator or something like that, and it installs itself as a printer, and basically you print to that software and it creates a PDF file out of it.
Well, that's essentially what the Acrobat package does.
Oh, yeah.
Just it does via an interface. Yeah. Or if the interface isn't working, there's that package called Adobe Distiller or Acrobat Distiller, which is in the Acrobat package, obviously, and that just installs itself into the printer as well. So you, instead of going to print to, say, your Canon printer or something...
Yeah.
You change the selection to PDF Creator or something like that, and when you print it, it'll give you a bunch of properties and settings that you can change, and then you press save, and it actually creates a PDF. Voila.
Nice.
So it's pretty good.
Sounds good.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, I like this site creator thing because it means you might have an obscure version of Word, or you might have formatted it in a special way, and if you want people to print it out. You want them to print it out with the same kind of formatting, naturally. You don't want them to stuff it up and print it sideways or something crazy.
Yeah.
So being able to convert whatever you've done online and download the file and then send it off or whatever sounds pretty good.
Well, really, what you could do is make your file in Writely and save it there, and then you could always save that document to a PC anywhere in the world. Obviously, just log into your Writely account,
we had that last week, by the way.
Save that, and then go to your pdfonline.com and create the PDF.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, you could just save that file, the PDF file, on some online storage in an email or something, and then you can print it anywhere in the world. Easy.
Yeah. We found this is the first time we've used rightly proper. Like, I used it a bit for last week, but of course it was only for myself. But do you reckon that works well this time around, having the show notes in rightly to sort of, you know, we collaborate and chuck in our show notes
considering
there?
Considering that we have a bit of distance between us and it's not like we're over the phone, we're just using Skype.
Yeah.
It's good to have live updating of the show notes rather than you and me or each one of us writing up show notes, sending them to each other and, you know,
comparing
them and then, you know, having a compromise as to what stories we're going to do or whatnot. We just type them up. It automatically updates. You can format it how you want, and, you know, bold and the paragraphing and bullet points, everything. And then you can save it for future reference. So we can nearly do a complete cut and paste from this for the show notes. Yeah. But, you know, we'll just leave this document here, and next week we'll save another one, make a number 22.
Yeah.
And then the show notes in there.
I was going to say, I guess we finished on the PDF, so what's this bring us to, Sean? Yeah, you could say that. What's the name of this video?
Mac Videos Parody.
So you haven't actually saw this one because you've just came in there, is that right?
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So this one is a parody of the Mac video, so if you want, I'll talk about it and you can load it in the background and everyone else will probably hear it as well. You know the Macintosh videos where they're sort of, there's a business guy and he's like, hi, I'm a PC and I'm a Mac.
It's like, well, Lisa, hey, what's wrong with you? I got a virus.
Yeah. Yeah, those like, ones.
It's like, stay away from me. It's pretty contagious. Like, no, like I don't get catch viruses. Virus. I'm a Mac.
Yeah. These are parodies of those ads that sort of take the mickey out of both Mac and PCs. For example, the first one, they look pretty close to the real characters too. They're wearing these Viking helmets and they're like, hi, I'm a Mac. No, I'm a PC. And then they're like, I'm playing WoW. He's like, so am I. And then they're like, I might stop playing now.
Hi, I'm a Mac, and I'm a PC. And we're just playing World of Warcraft for the Horde.
And the Mac guy's like, oh, so what are you going to play? Warcraft 3? He's like, nah, I think I might play Counter-Strike Source. He's like, what's that? I didn't know Blizzard make that. And he sort of just walks off. And sort of taking the fun out of that they don't play any games except for Blizzard stuff because there's no games on the Mac. There was other stuff like a guy walks on there asking for directions after they said, hi, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. And they're sort of saying, oh, I've got Google Maps. And the other guy's got, I've got gizmos on my Apple desktop. Would you like to use them? And then the guy's like, hang on, what did you guys say? He's like, I'm a Mac. And the other guy's like, I'm a PC. He's like, so you guys are computers? He's like, yeah. He's like, I think I'm going to be lost somewhere else. And he just walks off. And so, yeah, it's a good movie. Give it a watch. And there's a bunch of other ones. It runs for probably 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I'm downloading it now. It's taking quite a long time.
Yeah, it's a quick time, so... If you don't have QuickTime, get QuickTime Alternative. Don't bother with QuickTime, I suppose, because it's buggy. But is there a way to install iTunes without QuickTime? Because it comes with it.
No.
No?
No way. No. I don't think Bugger. So.
That sucks. So we're stuck.
I think that brings us to the end of the show today, tonight.
Yeah, you can wrap us up.
So for all first the show time notes, you can check out our website. What?
Huh?
What?
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 Finish up, fool.
Anyway, so for all the show notes and all the information for all today's or tonight's topics, you can go to oztechnews.blogspot.com to find out all the details for tonight's show. Also, feel free to send us an email with all your feedback and comments on the show. Any questions are happily answered by Brett and myself, oztechnews@gmail.com. Would be great to hear from you. So I think I'm sure that's it.
So I guess that's Brett James and Shaw Byrne to sign off, do you reckon?
Signing out.
It's hard to get rid of me. There's been a few more breaking news. The first one being is that the Nokia N93 just got released in Australia. Hip hip hooray. It's on Optus TeleChoice right this second. Telstra probably aren't going to sell it because it's a bit of a niche product according to them. And Hutchinson or Three aren't going to resell it because they failed their software testing. As you can see, I've been following them around for a fair bit. And I'll be getting my greasy mitts on it and letting you know how it's going. But anyway, knowing that the N93 is out just this second is pretty much an exclusive to Oztech News and me. Hooray! Kinda. Also, there's an old codger in the audience. Yep, that's right. One of our listeners has just hit 40 years old. So, congratulations to him, and I was thinking of saying, he's to another 40 years, but that sounds pretty lame, doesn't it? And it just makes you sound older. So, look forward to lots of your old jokes and more goodness like that in the future, man. But congratulations and keep on ticking. That's it, guys.